Our text of Scripture this morning, it really consists of just three words. Very short text. You'll find it in the opening line of verse 1 of 1 Kings chapter 17. And it's simply these words, Elijah the Tishbite. Elijah the Tishbite. Now this morning I want us just to commence a study in the life of this man, this prophet, Elijah the Tishbite. And now the Bible has much to say to us about this man. He was one who was greatly used of God in his day and generation. He was indeed a spiritual giant. Indeed, some have gone so far as to say that he was the greatest of the Old Testament prophets between Moses and John the Baptist. We could say, yes, he had a difficult sphere of service. He was a man who was to face many trials. He often faced them alone. Also, he knew what it was to feel the Lord on occasion. For in and of himself, he was but weak, and he was but frail and feeble. However, his life, by and large, was marked by faithfulness to the Lord and to the Word of God. And I believe his testimony is a worthy example for every believer, every child of God to follow and indeed to study. And today I want us just to take an overview as we commence this series of messages on the life of this man, Elijah the prophet. I want you to notice first of all here with me this morning his character. What do we glean about Elijah's character from the Scriptures? Well, in James chapter 5 and verse number 17, James there speaks to us about Elijah, and this is what he says. He says, Elias, that's the New Testament word for Elijah, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And what does that tell you and I about this man Elijah? It would show us that Elijah was not an angel, that he was not some superhuman being, so to speak. Rather, he was just a sinner saved by the grace of God. He was one who was subject to feelings, to temptations, to weaknesses, to fears, just like you and I. Yet in the midst of all this, he lived for God. In the midst of all this, he was used by God in his day and generation. Believer in our gathering this morning, let this be an encouragement to your heart and your soul today. You think about Elijah, if God could use and bless Elijah, and he did that, then he can also bless you, and he can also use you for his honor and for his glory. You think of David this morning. What did David use to slay the great giant of Goliath in his day and generation? What did David use? It was just a small, smooth stone, an insignificant stone as far as man was concerned, that he had picked up from the brook. He put it in a sling and he flung that stone and he used that smooth, insignificant stone to slay and to bring down the great giant of Goliath who was opposing the nation of Israel at that particular time. What does Paul say to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27? But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. What does that tell us? God is one who is in the business of using, as it were, nobodies as far as this world is concerned. Believer, in our meeting this morning, you may count yourself to be weak. You may reckon yourself to be insignificant as far as man is concerned, as far as the world is concerned. Don't let that discourage you in living for Christ, because the Lord can bless you and the Lord can use you as an individual believer wherever you are in life for His honor and for His glory. You think of the words of the hymn writer. The hymn writer could say, God made me for Himself to serve Him here. And that applies to each one who is saved in this gathering. Believer, the Lord has made you for Himself. He has saved you. He has redeemed you unto Himself so that you might serve Him here on earth, here upon the scene of time. Yes, Elijah was no angel or some superhuman being. He was just a sinner saved by the grace of God, a man who had given his life over to the Lord. The Lord to take up and to bless. And you something else here about his character. Elijah's character was marked by the fact that he was a man who knew the Lord. You think about the name Elijah there in our text. It says Elijah the Tishbite. That word Elijah, that name, simply means my God is Jehovah. And what does that tell us about Elijah? It tells us that Elijah had a personal relationship with the Lord God Jehovah. He knew the Lord. The Lord was his God. His trust was in the Lord. And likewise, if you and I are to be used by the Lord, then we too must know the Lord. That was ever the desire of the great apostle Paul. He could speak of the Lord and he could say that I might know him. He wanted to know more of the Lord. And can I say the starting place for you and I to know the Lord is salvation. That's the foundation for you and I to be acquainted with the Lord. What does it say in John 1 verse 12? But as many as received him, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you are to know the Lord, if you are to be acquainted with the Lord, you must start with salvation. You must receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith to be your Savior as a repentant sinner. If you are not saved in our gathering today, then as a repentant sinner, I would urge you even today to come unto Christ, even this morning. Trust Him as your own and personal Savior and rest upon His sacrifice, His atoning blood shed upon the cross of Calvary to save your soul, to wash away your sin, to fit you for heaven, to bring you into a saving relationship with the Lord, just like this man Elijah did many years ago. This is the starting place for you to know God. I'm not asking you today, do you know about God, but do you know God? Have you that saving relationship with the Lord? Can you look back to a time in your experience, whenever that was, wherever that was, when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ by faith to be your Savior? And then as you go on in your Christian life, the way for you to deepen your knowledge of the Lord is for you as a believer to give yourself up to prayer and to give yourself to the reading and the heeding of God's Word day by day in your life as a believer. Yes, Elijah was just an ordinary man like you and I, yet he was used of God. Elijah knew the Lord. He could say, the Lord God, my God is Jehovah. He knew the Lord as his God, as his Savior. Something else we want to note just about his character today, and we'll see that as we study this man, that his character was one of separation. Separation from false religion. Separation from the evils of his day and generation. Again, that is how it must be with you and I if we are to be used by the Lord. What does Paul say in Ephesians 5, verse 11? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We are to separate ourselves from false religion. Again, what did Paul say to the believer in Romans chapter 12, verse 2? He says, be not conformed to this world. In other words, we're not to go with the grain, so to speak. We're not to follow a multitude to do evil, as the Bible would say. We're not to conform to the evil ways and the spirit of Antichrist that is abroad in our world and in our society today. You think of the salmon in the spring swimming up the river to spawn. What does the salmon do? It swims against the current. It goes against the grain, so to speak. And likewise, you and I are believers, are not to be conformed. We're not to be controlled by the spirit of this ungodly world. We are to be separate from the evil ways of this world. It has been said, for all the world forsake not Christ, but all the world forsake We are to forsake the world for Christ. This is how it was with this man, Elijah. Yes, we see his character. Notice something else here about his day and generation. Not only his character, but notice his country. My Elijah was to minister to Israel. He was to minister to its King Ahab, and in particular, the 10 northern tribes of Israel. And what does the Bible tell us what Israel was like in that day? It was a day of apostasy. It was a day of departure from the things of God, a day of spiritual darkness. The false worship of Baal was prominent in the land. Look at verse 31 and verse 32 of 1 Kings chapter 16. It says, and it came to pass, in verse 31, if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, this is regarding King Ahab, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. Look again at verse 32. It says, and he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And it was a time when the false religion, the false worship of Baal was to the fore in the land. Society was marked by all kinds of sin, all kinds of immorality. Indeed, Ahab's reign, Ahab was upon the throne at this time in Israel, and his reign was marked by more evil than any of his predecessors. Look at verse 30 and verse 33 there of chapter 16 of 1 Kings. It says, and Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord, notice it, above all that were before him. Look at verse 33. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger, notice it, than all the kings of Israel that were before him. This man was known for awful evil and rebellion against the Lord. On account of the people's sin, in the day of Elijah, God's blessing was withheld from the land. A drought was to come upon the land for some 3.5 years. Look at the message that Elijah tells King Ahab in verse 1 of chapter 17. He says, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. The book of James tells us, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. For 3.5 years there was no rain, there was drought, there was famine, there was dearth in the land. This drought was all a sign of God's judgment, a sign of God's displeasure upon the nation because of its sin, its waywardness, and its rebellion against the Lord. Yet it was in the midst of all this, in the midst of this terribly dark situation, that Elijah was to faithfully witness for the Lord, faithfully witness for the Lord God Jehovah. In the midst of such dark and difficult days. And surely whenever you and I here think of the land of Israel in the day of Elijah the prophet, do we not also see a picture, a mirror image, indeed of our own land and our own nation and our own society today? Is it not a picture of our land, our nation, our society today? Our land is beset with false religion. The false teaching of Roman Catholicism is accepted by many. And it has been promoted more and more by the ecumenical movement. Then you have the rise of Islam in our society. And all the false cults and false religions of men. Think of the evils of our society. Hardly a week goes past that you hear the news of somebody been murdered or killed. That there's theft. There's drug abuse, drunkenness. Immorality. On top of this, you have the promotion of sodomy and transgenderism, and indeed many calling for abortion. People, we must never forget what abortion is. It is the murder of the unborn child in the womb. And by the sixth commandment says, thou shalt not kill. That's the spirit of the day in which we live. That's the spirit of our generation today. At this time, yes, our province is very dark morally and indeed religiously. But dear believer, in our meeting this morning, the Lord has called you and I to the kingdom for such a time as this. And it's at such a time, just like this man Elijah, that you and I are to stand for God and live for God and the honor of His word, counting not the cost, whatever that cost may be. Turning your Bible over to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. And look with me, please, at verse number 13. And look at what Paul there says to the saved, to you and I who are believers. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, it says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Notice it. And having done all to stand. You notice there that Paul talks about an evil day. And in the original language of the New Testament, that evil day really means unparalleled trouble, unparalleled evil. And my, as this world comes to a close and the forces of Antichrist rise to the fore more and more, you and I are going to witness unparalleled trouble and unparalleled evil in our land, in our society, and in our nation, and in the nations of this Western world. Look at how Paul describes these forces of darkness in the previous verse 12 of Ephesians 6. He says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, as he says, and high places. And brethren and sisters in Christ, it is in the midst of all this that it says there in Ephesians 6, verse 13, you and I are to withstand the evil tide. We're to stand against it. We're to stand for the Lord, for the Word of God, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is what you and I are to do in our day, in our generation. This is what Elijah did in his day and generation. And this is what you and I also are called to do in our day and generation. His character, his country. Notice something else here about this man Elijah. Notice his commission. As a prophet, his commission, what was it? It was one of proclaiming the word of God. Look at chapter 17, verse number 1. Look at what it says. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Here he is speaking of the drought that was to come. And what was Elijah doing here? He was warning of God's judgment upon the land, upon the people, upon the nation because of their sin. He was proclaiming that message to the king and to the people of his day. Turn over to chapter 18 of 1 Kings and the verse number 21. Look at what it says there about Elijah. It says, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. And here what is Elijah doing? He's challenging the people about the false worship of Baal of their day and generation, which they were taken up with. And he was challenging them to forsake that and to follow the Lord God Jehovah, the God of Israel. Turn on over to 1 Kings chapter number 21. Look with me, please, at verse 20 through to 22. Here again you have Elijah speaking. And he's warning of God's judgment upon the house of Ahab for his sin. And in particular, for having killed Naboth and having taken his vineyard. It says in verse 20 of 1 Kings 21, and Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And Elijah, he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, like the house of Baasha the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger, and hast made Israel to sin. And there Elijah was warning Ahab the king of the awful consequences of his sin upon himself and upon his household. And this was the commission of King Ahab, or Prophet Elijah. And Elijah's commission, it's to be the commission of every minister. It's to be the commission of every missionary, every evangelist, and indeed, every church. My, we are to warn others of the awful consequences of sin. We are to remind them that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Yes, like John the Baptist, we are to warn others of their great need personally to flee from the wrath to come. My, we're to raise a voice of protest against false religion and that which is contrary to the Word of God. What does it say in Jude verse 3? It says that we should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And then we are to bear witness of Christ our Savior to others, to those who are lost in sin and those who are in need of God's so great salvation. Turn with me in your Bible over to Acts chapter number 1. And look with me, please, at the verse number 8. And here you have the parting command of the Lord to his disciples, to his people, before he was taken up into glory, into heaven. And look at what he says in Acts chapter 1 and the verse number 8. He says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Brethren and sisters in Christ, that is our mandate. Warning others of sin. Standing up for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And witnessing to others, telling others when God gives us opportunity, of how they can be saved from their sin, reconciled to God, made right for heaven, and made sure of glory. It was old Matthew Henry who said, "Wherever we go, let us not fail to take our religion with us." Yes, we see Elijah's character, his country, his commission. Notice one final thing here just this morning in connection with our text. Notice Elijah's confidence. Elijah's confidence was not in himself, nor was it in anything of man. But you will see that it was in the Lord's power, in the Lord's presence, and indeed in the very promise of the Word of God Himself. You again think about the name Elijah. It means, "My God is Jehovah." And what does that tell us about Elijah? That he was trusting in the Lord's grace. He was trusting in the Lord's power. You look again at what he says there to Ahab in verse 1 of chapter 17. He says, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth," notice it, "before whom I stand." He talks here about standing in the very presence of God. In other words, Elijah was a man who lived in the presence of God. And my, he rested on the presence of God. He confided in the presence of God with him in his life. And then notice the title that he gives to the Lord there in verse number 1 of 1 Kings 17. He describes him, he says, "as the Lord God of Israel." That's a very important title to the Lord. It means the covenant-keeping God. The one whose word is sure. The one whose promises are sure and certain. And what does this tell us about Elijah? He was a man who confided in the promises of God. He rested upon the Word of God. And brethren and sisters in Christ, as you and I go forth to serve the Lord and to live for the Lord in this dark and evil and ungodly world, follow the example here of Elijah. Let us rest upon the Lord's almighty power to help us in our witness for Him day by day. What does it say in Luke 1, verse 31? It says, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Always remember that. Keep that before you in your witness and your service for God, that with God, nothing is impossible. Rest on His power. Also, believer, rest upon His abiding presence with you day by day as you go forth to serve the Lord and witness for Him and live for Him. What's the Lord's great promise to His people? Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Rest upon His presence with you day by day. And then, believer, rest also upon God's unfailing word, His unfailing promise. Stand upon His word. Stand upon His truth. Turn with me your Bible over to Psalm 119. Look with me, please, at the verse number 89. Look at what it says there about the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 89. Let this Word be burned into your soul as you seek to live the Christian life and serve God and witness for Him in our day and generation. It says, forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. That's how it was with Elijah. He rested upon God's Word. He rested upon the presence of the Lord. He rested upon the power of God. Brethren and sisters in Christ, by the grace of God, may that be our testimony as well. May that be the witness that you and I seek to follow. May that be our confidence. As you and I, as believers in Christ, seek to serve the Lord and live for Him and witness for Him in our workplaces, in our homes, in our families, and in this corner of His vineyard where He's placed us and called us to, so that you and I might be a blessing to others and that God might use us for His honor and for His everlasting glory. We're going to close our meeting this morning.